Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
Amen, amen. Well, have a seat, have a seat. I just want to say I'm thankful for Cody to step in to play guitar for me. I tell you what, you know, it is great to be on the receiving end where I get to stand and worship with you guys and have someone play guitar for me in my stead, which is great. I love that. So thank you, Cody, for stepping in. I appreciate that. That song that we sang, one of the songs, it touches me so much. I mean, have this. This is off the cuff right now. You're getting it honest. That song touches me. The song is called Sinking Deep, and that prayer that we sing, Your love so deep washes over me. Jesus Christ, my only desire is you. All my life, I love that because it doesn't matter how whatever goes on in this life, whatever shakes out, as long as we know Christ as Lord, as King of our lives, that's what matters. I love singing that song as a prayer because it's just this honest, guttural cry to God that I would know him, that I would truly know the man, know Jesus. Not just what people tell me about him, not just what the pastor says, not just what my grandparents or my mom tells me or your parents or whoever. Palmer Jones wants to know the man, Christ Jesus. And I love that prayer. Because we cannot exhaust the majesty of Christ. We cannot exhaust the knowledge. There's always something to know about Jesus and ways to grow in Christ. And so I want to say good morning. I'm happy to be here, and I'm excited to preach to you guys. Every so often I get to preach on Sunday, and I don't take it for granted. I love preaching to you guys. If you don't know me, my name is Palmer Jones. I'm the student pastor here. I oversee the 6th through 12th grade ministry, and I get to teach our students every single Wednesday the gospel and about Jesus, but every so often I get to be up here, and so we're gonna have a little fun this morning as well. So I'm excited, and I hope that you're ready to open God's Word and hear from the Lord. Pastor Kevin, at the start of the year, he started our year off 2024 with kind of this vision statement that we would hold on to the things worth holding on to, but by extension of that, we'd also what? We would let go of the things that we need to let go of, right? What is worth holding on to as Christians? Not just as Christians, but as First Baptist Church Stockdale, as a church body, a church family, what's worth holding on to? At the same time, what do we have to let go of as well? We've got to be honest with yourselves. And so as we go into our text today, it's very timely. It's a very timely text coming off of Christmas, where probably most of us in this room, I would say most of us, probably had some Christmas presents underneath the tree. Maybe Santa brought your favorite thing. Maybe you got that thing you've always been asking for this year. So let's open our text to 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. If you're new to reading scripture, the chapters are the big numbers and the verses are the little numbers. 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. This is what we believe to be the Apostle John writing this. He says this, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's possessions is not from the Father, but it is from the world. And the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God remains forever." You know, I can almost jokingly say that, like, that's it. Sermon's over. We're wrapped up. Party's over. We can go home. And the reason why I say that is because I love Bible verses like this that speak clearly. Here's what I mean by that. You do not need a PhD in theology or a master's of divinity from seminary to understand what John is trying to communicate here. Like, if you're just kind of being honest, you're like, John's speaking pretty black and white here. He's kind of communicating honestly. You don't need to be fluent in Koine Greek to understand what John's getting at here. He says it plainly in verse 15. He goes on and says, Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And John, we know he was clear, and he was very well versed in the teachings of Jesus. Well, the obvious answer is, why do we think that? Well, because he walked with him. He ate with him. He heard him. He watched how Jesus treated people, how he talked to people, engaged with one another. How did Jesus engage the tax collectors? How did Jesus engage the religious rulers? How did he engage the women who were prostitutes? He engaged with all types of people, and John got to watch that. And so when John's writing this letter of 1 John, he also wrote in his gospel account, the book of John, the gospel of John that he wrote, he says in chapter 17, verses 15 through 16, he says this, he's accounting Jesus in his high priestly prayer. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus says, I am not praying, Father, that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them, he's talking of the disciples, from the evil one. They are not of the world, the disciples, just as I am not of the world, Jesus referring to himself. You know, if you've been in church any time, you've heard this Christian expression before. We are to be in the world, right? Like we physically live here. Our physical bodies reside in creation that God created. But we are not to be what? Of the world. That's right. We live in the world, but we are not to be of the world. We're not supposed to look like the world, talk like the world, walk like the world, do as the world. And so John is communicating these clear black and white things that there's the love of the world, the shiny, the pursuits of man, and then there's the love of the Father, the love of God. And what's presented here and is consistent all throughout Scripture is that there's never a middle road. There's no neutrality with God. I tell our students that all the time. All the time. Palmer, I want to come to Jesus, but I still want to do this. Palmer, can I follow Jesus and still like have this in my life? Jesus comes to take all. And John's writing, the love of the world cannot coexist with the love of God. It's like oil and water. You can put it like in a little container and you can shake it up for a million years. It doesn't matter. Shake it as vigorously as you want. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, when it settles, the water and oil will never mix. The things of the world and the love of God, they cannot mix. And here's what I want to communicate, though, clearly, is when we talk about the things of this world, I have to be careful communicating God's word to us because I want to make sure that I am not telling you that having new things or nice things is a sin. It's not what I'm saying. 2 years ago, I bought a brand new iPhone. My old one was dying. It's not a bad thing to have new things. It's not a bad thing to have a new car. Your old junker after 20 years is finally going kaput, and you go to the dealer and get something nice and new. Praise the Lord that he provided the means for you to get that. Right? The difference here is, it's not about having nice things or lots of wealth. What John wants to get here and communicate to is that, is your heart surrendered over to them? Does your heart gravitate towards these things where you're like, I have got to have that? Back when I was a teenager, smartphones were like becoming a thing, you know? I don't know if you guys, most of you guys probably remember that in this room where it's like you had like the, you know, the phone at home with the big old like crinkle wire. And then the next thing you know, you got a full-blown computer in your pocket in 15 years. You're like, how did we make that generational leap? And when I remember I was a teenager, it was like, you got to have the new phone, the new phone. My friend, I'll never forget it, he showed up one day with a camera on his phone. And I was like, they have cameras now? It was the coolest thing. Everybody wanted to see it. I felt my heart burning towards that. It was lended to it. It consumed me. And so it's not about the things of the world. Things are things. They're not bad nor good. But where is your heart posture towards the things of this world? We have to ask ourselves as Christians because, as John said, they can't mix. We can't want and desire and pursue the world, but at the same time pursue Christ. We can't do it. Verse 16, he continues. He says, "For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world." I think it's very important to communicate that just about everything in the world can become an idol. If you've never experienced that yourself, I know I have. Even good things can become idols. Men, you've probably experienced this before. As a man, and if you're married, what do you want to do? You want to provide for your family. You want to lead well. You want to make sure that your kids, if you have them, are taken care of. You want to make sure that your wife is taken care of. You feel that pride. But what often can happen, men, we know this to be true. Maybe you work a couple extra hours, and then you miss some family time at home, when really you probably didn't need to work those extra hours. You want that overtime bonus so you can go be with this and do this and this. But maybe your kids are at home going, "I don't care about the bonus. They don't know a thing about a bonus. They just want mom or dad to be home." So it's a good thing where we can be like, yes, that's a good thing. Work hard, good work ethic, provide for your family, good thing. But so often it can become an idol. Because when we think of idols, we think of like the easy ones, you know, addictions, habits, stuff you know you shouldn't be doing. But so often, Satan's tricky. He can turn even the good things into idols. And John gets at that. He says, everything in the world, it can be everything in the world. And he uses that word lust, and I like that word that he uses, lust. Because when we think of lust, typically what I think of and what most people communicate when they use that word is things in a sexual context, most of the time. But that word lust is very important that John uses because it is not just a desire for something. It is an all-consuming, burning desire for something. It doesn't always have to be in that type of context. It could be a promotion that you're gunning for at your job. It could be a relationship that you have, or maybe that you want to have. It could be X, Y, Z, you name it. It could be that burning pursuit of something, a lust, where it's all you think about. I know for me, when I was 24 years old, I went out and I purchased a vehicle, and I love cars. If you know me, I'm a car enthusiast through and through. I can talk cars. I can look at cars. I go to car shows. I'm a car guy through and through. Love it. From 15 years old, I browsed Craigslist every single day looking for a junker car that I thought was cool. And even into my early 20s, every single day, I felt like I was an auto trader or something looking for cars. At 24 years old, I called out of work sick because I found a really good deal for the car that I presently drive right now. And it was a horrible financial decision, so don't do that, young gentleman in your room. I took out a 7-year note, bad decision. The car salesman was like, "It's not that long, man. It's a long time, brother. It's a long time." And oh man, the first time I opened up that, I'm like, I bought the car for this, but why do I owe like $10,000 more? Interest rate out the roof. So I made a horrible decision, but I remember my heart burned for that car. I thought about it. I literally dreamt about it. I dreamed about getting married in that car, which I did. I thought about like taking Katie out and like just driving the windows down, which I still do. But like it was like this massive fantasy just to have this awesome car. And when I bought the car, I came home strapped into a huge car payment forever. And that night, it was parked in my apartment driveway or parking lot, and my head hit the pillow. And I thought to myself, I am no closer to Jesus than I was when I bought that car. All that fulfillment I thought I had, I didn't love his church more. I didn't love my students more that I oversaw at the time as an intern. I didn't I didn't know anything more about the Bible, but I had the car. And did it provide happiness? Sure. Yeah, it did. It still does. It's paid off now. Praise the Lord. But like, I'm never selling that thing. I'm never getting a car payment again. It didn't provide that deep fulfillment within my soul. Only Christ can fill that. And what I'm getting at is after all that time and buildup of years and years and years of fantasizing and lusting after this, I turned up empty. And for a fast car, it got me absolutely nowhere. Absolutely nowhere in my walk with Christ. And I promise you, when I kick that bucket and maybe people stand before my casket, they won't be talking about Palmer's car. I hope they're not. I hope they're speaking about Jesus. I don't want my car mentioned at my funeral. I hope they go, Palmer loved Christ. Because that's all that matters when it all shakes out. And that's where we get this pride in one's possessions. John talks about that. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's possessions. Do you pride Christ? You know, we own that. We were given to it. It's a gift that we received. You know, I know sometimes there's nothing wrong with wearing nicer clothes. I promise you there's not. There's nothing nice about owning a nice watch. But where's our pride and joy? Parents call their children that. I'm going to experience that in about a month and a half for the first time in my life. When that baby comes out, I'm going to be showing everybody pictures. It's my pride and joy. I'm going to be like, look, I don't care if you don't want to see it. You're going to look at it, all right? 50 pictures of her, you know? Pride and joy. But do we treat our faith the same way? Like, maybe you walked this very aisle. Maybe you got baptized in those very waters. But do we walk into our coworkers' lives? Do we walk into our families' lives? Do we walk into wherever the Lord would find us? And are we prideful of that? Do we boast in Christ? Because we got nothing else to boast of. I don't know about you. I'm a wretched sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I can't boast in Palmer Jones. The best I bring to the tables, it's nothing. It's kaput. But I tell you what I bring to the table is nothing I even brought. It's all the blood of Christ. And I get to share that. And so my challenge for us is going into 2025, would we be a people that are proud of what the Lord has done? Not of our works, but of the works of Christ. Let us not shy away from that. Let us be proud, not in our earthly possessions, because you ain't taking them with you. Let us be proud of our heavenly possessions that has been granted and gifted to us, our salvation and forgiveness of sins. It's the greatest thing in the world. Verse 17, he continues. This is the last verse. John says, and the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God remains forever. It remains forever. And I will say this, as a pastor, it is my responsibility to take seriously communicating God's word to you so that you guys walk away with a clear understanding of God's word. So I want to describe two things to you. If you've been in church for any while, you've probably heard the word legalism thrown around. What legalism is, it's what the Pharisees were accused of most. They made a bunch of man-made rules to accompany God's actual law. They held people to an extremely high standard that they couldn't meet. And then they ostracized and made people feel terrible that they were never going to earn God. Legalism, simply put, is you working your way to God. Do better. Do more. Do religious rituals. And maybe when it shakes out, you can get to God. That's legalism. We reject that. We are saved by grace through faith. Period. By the blood of Christ. Freely by receiving. But on the other end of the spectrum, where there's work, 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 we have a little bit of a longer word that's much more commonly said in church. It's called antinomianism. Antinomianism. Paul talks about this in his letters. Essentially, what that word means, translated, means anti-law. To put it more in English words, cheap grace. I can sin and do whatever I want. Jesus is going to forgive me, right? He's all loving. He's all powerful. Oh, if I sin, hey, we'll take care of that Sunday when Pastor Kevin gives the invitation. It doesn't really matter how I live my life. Cheap grace. People who say they're antinomian would be like, they got a license to sin. And so we don't want to be the people that are like working, because what? The work has already been finished. But we also don't want to be the people that are like, I can live however I want throughout the week. It doesn't matter. Because Paul tells us, shall we continue sinning so that grace may extend? Paul answers his rhetorical question. He says, by no means. So when I read this passage, I want to communicate clearly that the gospel doesn't side with either, but it speaks to the middle. And it says this, that if you come to Christ, we fight for holiness. We fight sin. Jesus says in John 14, 15, remember, this is the same guy writing two different books. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says this, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. John, like I said, writes in his letter, 1 John in 17, he says, whoever does the will of the Father remains forever. Can you imagine? John is hearkening back to what Jesus said to him. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You know, when Jesus calls his disciples, maybe when he called you, do you remember that day? I remember my day when Jesus called me. I remember it, man. It is as vivid as any other significant memory in my life. When Jesus called me, it was not a Palmer, come and follow me. But you can keep doing that, though. Palmer, would you come follow me? Surrender to the ministry. But you can keep sinning in that area. You can still have that girlfriend. And you guys can keep doing whatever you're doing. That's cool. No. Jesus comes and he says, follow me, pick up your cross, and die daily to yourself. That's right. Jesus comes as Lord of all, not Lord of some. And when we come to follow Christ, we want to pursue holiness and obedience to him, not because we're working for something, it's already been finished, but because we've been saved. We're a saved people. Simply put it like this, if you're married or if you're in a relationship, when I do nice things for Katie, my wife, I don't do it to earn her love. She already loves me. Even on my worst days, that woman still loves me somehow. But you know what I do? I do things for her on the outworking of my love for her. It's the same thing with Christ. I love Christ. Therefore, I want to do things for him and serve him. Am I going to fail and have a lot of blunders where I faceplant a lot? Oh yeah, probably, definitely. Till the day I draw my last breath, I'm going to fail many more times. But praise be to God, we have a good Savior who is gracious and merciful to us. And he saves sinners like me. And if you don't know that for yourself today, Christ can save you too, I promise you. So going into 2025, a Christian's life. Like if you would say that, Palmer, that's me, man. I'm a Christian, I follow Jesus. Can you look at 2024 and ask yourself honestly, is my life been marked by a consistent lifestyle of following Christ, of being obedient to Jesus? Do I have a consistent mark? Or would you err on the other side where you go, man, I probably not. Maybe I haven't. I don't have a consistency to my life. Maybe on Sunday I do, but when I get with my boys, or I get with this, or I do this, it all just kind of falls by the wayside. And so my challenge to us as a church, as we close out the year, the privilege I have to preach on the final Sunday of the year, is I want to challenge you guys. Going into 2025, run towards Christ. Run towards him with everything you got. Because I want to know the man. And I hope you want to know him too. Truly know them. What does that look like in 2025? What things do you need to hold on to that are good? And going into 2025 here just in a few days, what do we got to let go of? I cannot answer that question for you. But I pray the Holy Spirit, as you're sitting here, is revealing things in your heart where you go, oh yeah, that's got to go. That's got to leave. One couple final thing, I just want to say this, is I feel such a burden for the men of this church. So men, I'm just going to talk to you just for a second. And the reason why I feel this way is because 99.9% of all of the things I face in that youth ministry, all the problems that the kids come to me with, can all be traced back to men not rising to the occasion to lead their family well. And I want to challenge us this year. Let's lead our families well. Let's pray for our wives. And if you're not yet married, start praying for her. And if you're dating, it's not too early to start. Pray for your wives. Pray with your family. If you have children, pray with your children. They need to see a father. They need to see it. So going into 2025, let's hold on strong to Christ. Because I believe that God is doing something with the men of this church. I believe it. I'm seeing it. And so what I want to challenge you with is engage and lean into that. Lean in. And if you don't know where to start, come talk to Pastor Kevin. Come talk to me. It's as simple as, hey, babe, can we pray tonight? And I've never done it, and it's weird. Maybe you got to say that and just clear the air. The first time I ever prayed with Katie, we were dating. When my dad died, I'm so convicted on this because when my dad died, he challenged his buddies before he passed. He said, men, pray with your wives. When my mom told me that, my dad passed when I was a young boy, I was a child, I was two. I called Katie immediately. We were dating at the time. She just got off work, and I was like, I know this is weird, and I don't even know what to say right now, but can we just pray on the phone together for the first time? It was the most awkward prayer in the world, but we did it. I want to challenge you guys. Pray. Follow Christ. Because the things of this world are coming at you at every angle. Especially in Christmas time where it was all buy one, get one. Buy two, get one. Buy one half off. The world wants your attention. It'll fight for it tooth and nail. And I need to tell you something. If Satan convinced you that he sleeps, he don't. He plays for keeps. And he doesn't sleep at all. And he's working tooth and nail. And he'll do anything to capture your heart. So we got to be on guard and fight against the evil. And just as Jesus prayed, Father, would you protect them from the evil one? That's our prayer today. Going into 2025, his mercies are new. His mercies are new right now. And so I want to offer something to you. And it's simply this. If you don't know Jesus, like you could say, and just be real honest with yourself, I don't follow Christ. Today's the day that can change. And your family will be changed forever. You can change a family tree forever, right now. And so if you don't know Christ, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. And for the first time, trust in him. Truly trust in him. And maybe you know Christ and maybe you have followed him forever, but you've never been baptized. We talked about following Christ requires obedience. Jesus' first words in his ministry says, repent and believe and be baptized. It's part of the process. If you have any questions about baptism, we'll answer it. But if you need to get baptized, please come talk to us. Come on down. If you need general repentance where you're like, I just need to get some things right and someone to pray for me, I'll be here down as well. And last but not least, if you feel like the Lord is calling you to join this church family, church membership is not something that First Baptist Church Stockdale just made up out of the ether. Church membership is a biblical thing. Scripture supports it. Because we're called together on mission, that we'd be one church, one body. So if you would like to join our church family today, you can come down as well. I'm going to be right here at the altar. We're going to sing our final song. And if you need to respond in any way at all, come talk and we can do business with the Lord so that when you walk out those doors, you have a clean conscience before the Lord, a clean conscience that you did business and that you're right with God. Let me pray.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.